choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
If you're alive and a Christian today, you're in a real battle, a real fight, and many Christians don't even know it. So who is our enemy, and what do they really want? We find out in today's message from Pastor Jonathan entitled, Fight, Run, Stand.
Today's message is the fourth installment in the letters from my father, Paul's letters to Timothy. And the title of this message is Fight, It's Run, and It's Stand. And when I look at some of the great speeches throughout history, there's one we're going to focus on today from the Word of God, but you got speeches like 67 years ago and one small step for man, one giant leap, and we hold these truths to be self-evident, and I know not what course others may take, and all of these amazing speeches like I have a dream. It's a great one. And yet, there's one in Scripture that I want to talk with you about today, probably one of the best. And Paul is writing from a prison in Rome where the Emperor Nero will probably take his life very shortly for the gospel. He's in chains for the gospel. And he's writing to all of his spiritual sons in the faith, people who he's poured his life into, planted churches with, developed relationships with, given of himself over and over again till there was nothing left, and then gave some more. And he's writing to these people, men and women all over the world, and to one in particular, to Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." The word departure there means, it's a Greek word that means to unmoor a ship as to go on a voyage. And see, for Paul, the next door, the door of death, was just a door. It was a place entering into another life. For to him was, for to live was Christ, and to die was gain. And so he was just saying, hey, I'm about to go on another journey. I'm about to unmoor the ship of my life and set sail to my heavenly reward. But before I do, I want you to know a few things. Look at your neighbor, say, I got a few things. Say, I have fought the good fight. Come on. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So good. So good. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, aren't we glad for that, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. See, the reality is, the moment, if you have decided to follow Christ here today, the moment that you did, you were in a fight. It was the fight of your life. All hell was designed to be unleashed against you. And one of the biggest lies that the enemy ever told you is that he doesn't exist. But the reality is, the moment that you came into Christianity, if you didn't have someone tell you that you were in a fight, you got punked. You were sucker punched. Because you are in the fight of your life. John 10:10, we love that verse. I have come to give life and have it to the and that more abundantly. But oftentimes we don't look at the precedent there. The first part of that verse, which is the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. His only mission, his only objective is to destroy your life, to destroy your future, to destroy your faith. And so you're in a fight. And the problem is, a lot of us Christians walk around and act like we're losing stuff and don't know why. We hopped in the rink and we're getting bludgeoned, and we don't even realize that there's an enemy of our souls that are that's ready to take us out at all costs, at all times, to do whatever he can to destroy the fabric and the foundation of the faith of Jesus Christ in you. And so Paul says, I fought my fight. I fought my fight. How do you fight? I love this because he writes to the Corinthians in another place and he says, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. We the weapons we fight with aren't the weapons of the world. On the contrary, meaning other than, opposite of that, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Come on. Things you just can't seem to get over, things that other people just been stumbling blocks in your life for all of your life, for your family history, your past, your brokenness. There's a stronghold that God says can be demolished by the divine power of the weapons that he's given you. And he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, I love this, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know what I love about that is that a lot of times I feel like we as believers lose the war of the mind before we ever get in the ring. There are thoughts that are constantly plaguing you, telling you, the Bible calls Satan the accuser. He's always talking about what you used to be. He's always talking about the things that you stumble in, the things that you struggle with. He's always reminding you of your past. There's always a thought that runs contrary and runs against what God has spoken about you in his word and over your life. Are you with me on that? Do you understand that? Do you get that there is something that he wants to take from you? And the reality is that he is trying to let those thoughts rise up, thoughts of unforgiveness, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of lust, thoughts of unforgiveness, thoughts of cancer, thoughts of you name it. And the reality is the Bible says that every day is a daily battle that you have to take captive, which means to wrestle to the ground with force. You have to apply some force. You have to put that thing in an arm bar. You have to put that thought in a chokehold, and you have to drag it to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't just say to drag it and leave it there. He says then make it obedient to what the word of God says about your life. Make it obedient. Make it bow. Make it submit. Make it surrender to the truth of God's word about you. I'm done preaching. Preaching better than you're responding today. It's making me nervous. The reality is that you make it obedient. You don't just take it there, but you make it submit every thought that says that you are not when God's word says that you are. Every thought that says that you can't when God's word says that you can. Every thought that says you are below when God's word says that you are above. Every thought that says go your own way, you'll never get over it. You take it obedient and you make it captive and you make it submit to what the word of God says about your life and about your future. If you believe that, say something. As Jeremiah says, does not my word burn like fire? Is it not a mighty hammer that smashes a rock into pieces? The word hammer there is used of gold and of stone. And sometimes we focus so much on the shiny things that we overlook the structures that God wants to put in place in our lives. And when God's word begins to burn up some stuff and when it begins to break through some strongholds in your life, then all of a sudden you can focus more on the inside. And the reality is the structure holds the building up. And there's some structures that we need in our lives. And just listen to me, this is practical. This isn't gonna blow your mind, but it might help align your spirit. It's routines and spiritual disciplines. It's things like, hey, there's some structures in my life. I gotta talk to God every day. There's a famous evangelist by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, and they said, man, you've seen all these healings, workings, miracles. How long do you pray? He said, I never pray more than 10 minutes. He just said, I never also go more than 10 minutes without praying. I just talk to God all the time. I get his heart and his mind and his will for my sales goals and for my business meetings and for my family and for what's going on in my life and for my attitude and my thought condition, my heart condition. You know God cares about all that, right? So he wants to inform all of that. He doesn't just like the Sunday box. He likes to own the box. So he likes to know what's going on in every aspect of your life. He likes to know what's going on in every place. He wants his heart infused in there. And if you're talking with him, if you're reading his word, and by the way, I just want to tell you, you're never going to get a voice that contradicts his verse. So when you're talking to him, know that it's going to line up with what's already written. So read what's written. Read what's written. I can't tell you how many people try and use that to go their own way. Listen, God's word, you're not going to hear a voice that contradicts his word. There's routines and spiritual practices. There's routines and time with God and with church. And listen, if you come once, do your best to come twice. If you come twice, do your best to come three times on Sunday. If you come three, do your best to come four. If you come four, then sign up for a Connect group. If you come four and sign up for a Connect group, then lead a Connect group. If you do all that, I don't know what else to tell you. But just take the next step, right? Doesn't have to be the only step. Just take the next step. It doesn't have to be the final step. It's just the next step. I think God leads like that. His grace is sufficient to you unto the day. A lot of times we're robbing ourselves of the power of God's grace because we play the fast forward button in our mind. And God's grace isn't in your future. It's in your now. He's an ever-present God. He's with you now. His grace is with you now. So when you're worrying about tomorrow, you said enough. Tomorrow's got enough worry of its own. You just focus on the grace that God wants to give you now. And it'll always be enough. Don't play fast forward. Ladies. 8-type personalities and planners. Gotta live here. You know, got to live here. It's okay to live here. Just tell your mind to take a vacay. You know, and just rest in what God has spoken and is doing. Because even when you don't think he's doing something, he's doing something. I say that all the time. God is doing something when he's doing nothing. He's always up to something. He's always up to something good. The reality is Jeremiah was called to uproot and to plant. I think a lot of times we get to the place, you remember the parable of the sower? The seed sprung up, but the weeds strangled it. I think a lot of times we have to let God pluck some things up before he can plant some things. We got to let him do some deconstruction before he can start to build some things. If you walked into Christianity, you go, man, feels like I'm taking 10 steps back. Don't worry about it. He's probably just demolishing something that was a hindrance to you anyway. And he wants to build something really good. So what do you fight? I think a lot of times the Bible says that he gave you the armor of God. He gave you the helmet of salvation. He gave you the breastplate of righteousness. He gave you the sword of the Spirit. He gave you the shield of faith. He gave you the shoes. He gave you the shoes. I love the shoes. I got the shoes of the gospel of peace put on you. And I think a lot of times we treat God's armor like we're in Buckingham Palace. It's for display only. Like, hey, I know a word, but I don't know the word. I've got a shield. I haven't used it in a while. There's things in my life that God gave you armor to wear, not to look at. He gave you armor to use, not to be used by. He gave you those things so that you can have a word for the exact battle that you need to fight. David had a rock for the exact giant he needed to kill, and then he had four others for the brothers that he had. The reality is God has a specific weapon for the battle that you're facing. Whatever that battle may be, whatever its name may be, when you climb into the rink, you need to know that God already has a place for you and that there's no name above his name. So the name of cancer can't win. The name of divorce can't win. The name of depression and suicide can't win because he rigged the game. 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross and shed his blood and then rose again on the third day so that the match could be rigged. So that when you walk into the ring, you know, hey, I know that name, but it's not above the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. That name always wins. That name I can utilize. And by the way, the power that he gave me has already rigged the match. The reality is armor is to be used, not to be looked at. It's not for display. Paul says to Timothy, in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, I give you these instructions so that you will fight well in the Lord's battles. Number one, they're the Lord's battles, so don't fight a battle he hadn't called you to. We make a mistake there sometimes. God's got a battle for you to fight. He's called you to fight. He's given you everything you need to fight. He's rigged the game for you to win it. But the reality is, don't pick up battles that you ain't called to fight. There are some things that God wants you to fight. I love how the instruction goes with the prophecies made about him, the prophecy, the prophetic insight, the God speaking about your future specifically through other people. That's critical because the word says that he does that. And his instruction always goes with the word that he's given you. So I love the fact that that instruction follows the word. So if you're hearing some things, if you're doing some things, they'll always line up with the word. They should always line up with the word of God. If they don't, then watch what you're doing. God doesn't give you instructions that conflict with his word. But I love the word of the prophetic, because over David's life, he was prophesied that he would be king three times. But he didn't just get big words. He got small words like, who should I attack and when? And the reality is, God revealed the battle plan of the enemy to him so that he could destroy it. And he'll will you too. He'll give you the battle plan of the enemy. Samson, Joseph had prophetic insight. Jacob prophesied all over all of his sons. These prophetic words have been used to lead, to guide, to direct, to encourage you, to inform you about the specific plan of God for your life. God has words that he wants to speak over you, church. He's got words to encourage you, but you're called to fight. Make no mistake, fighting's necessary. You're called to take territory when everybody would run. You're called to be faithful when everybody isn't. You're called to stand and to fight. And if you don't stand, see, God, I want to tell you this. The enemy doesn't care about your marriage. You can keep it. He doesn't care about your kids. You can keep that. He doesn't care about what you look at, and he doesn't care about your health. You can keep all of that. The only reason he touches those things is because he's after your faith. See, here's the thing about faith. I actually have a bittersweet relationship with faith. Me and faith talk on the phone sometimes. Sometimes I call faith and I hang up. Sometimes I get angry with faith. Sometimes faith really irks me. And the reason faith irks me is because right when I think I've got enough of it, God always puts me in a position to need more. Faith always grows. So I sometimes tell faith and I tell God, I'm good where I'm at. I've come through that battle. I've got faith. Check it. Just leave me alone now. Just leave me alone. You ever told God to leave you alone? Faith, leave me alone, please. I don't need any more faith. And then God says, oh, no, because you don't look how I designed you, and you haven't done everything that I've called you to do. All those great things, all those things, no, that eye has not seen, that ear has not heard, that mind has not conceived. Yeah, you haven't done all of these amazing things that I have planned for you. So I'm going to keep putting you in positions where you will have to allow faith to grow in your life so that you can gain the victory that I've called for you to walk in. So then faith grows again. Darn it. And that always comes when I'm facing a challenge that's bigger than me. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things that I cannot see. It's always pushing me. It's always challenging. And you know why Satan wants your faith? He doesn't want your marriage, church. He wants your faith. He's just using that to get to your faith. He's just using health to get to your faith. He's just using finances. Satan doesn't care if you make all the money in the world, because you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. So he ain't worried about your money. He's worried about your faith. He wants to take away the faith that you have in who your provider really is. Because some of us are deceived and think it's us. The reality is that faith is something, the reason that Satan hates faith, not only because without it it's impossible to please God, it's because it always makes you get back up. That is good. It always makes you get back up. Now look, a righteous man falls seven times, but then what happens? He gets back up. And so look, I want you to see, you can be knocked down with trouble in your marriage. You can be knocked down with cancer in your body. You can be knocked down in lack in your finances. But the problem with faith is it keeps growing and it keeps making you get back up. I don't even want to get back up. I can't bend down that far and I'm not doing it. But you just keep getting back up. And see, that's the thing. If Satan can take your faith, then he can hit you one time and keep you down. But the problem with faith is that it will always grow. It will always challenge you. It will always call you to get back up and fight. I want to tell you that Paul told Timothy, guard the treasure. Guard the treasure. I want to tell you today, I just want you to receive this. I want your spirit to get it, whether your mind does or not. Just receive this by the Spirit of God. That the greatest treasure in the world is housed in you. The faith of the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ is housed in you. The power of God is housed in you. The Spirit of And you're vulnerable because you're valuable. It's that value that makes you vulnerable. I've never seen thieves break into bummed out, run down houses. There ain't nothing in there that they want to take. Let's just keep it real. They're looking for the flat screens and the stereo systems. They're breaking into houses that holds something of immense value. The problem is that sometimes the enemy of your soul recognizes your value more than you do. So you trade things away, give things away, get sucker punched in the face all the time, wondering why you're losing because you don't know you're in a fight. And the reality is, the moment you said yes to Jesus, hell said, oh, hell no. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after whatever you find precious, whatever will steal your faith, whatever will take from you. And you just got to look at that thing and say, no, devil, not today. Not today. Not today or any day. It will always just be today. There isn't a yesterday and there isn't a tomorrow that you live in. You only live in today. So every day is today. Devil, oh heck no, not today. You tell hell, hell no. You tell hell, no, I'm in a fight and my faith will always cause me to get back up because there's something housed in me, the hope of the gospel. The Bible says he's the hope of all glory that's housed in me. And I know that I'm vulnerable because of the immense value that God has placed on my life and in my life. And so my faith will never, never fail. That's why Jesus prayed that their faith would not fail. Hey, listen, I know their disciples are going to be so depressed, so rejected, so feeling lonely, so feel like I let them down when I'm in that tomb. So God, I'm just praying in John 17 that their faith would not fail. That's what he told Peter. I've already prayed. I know you're going to be sifted like wheat. I know what you're going to do, man. But I prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. And after you've been restored, come on, somebody, go restore your brothers too. Go restore the people around you too. Come on, go give what you've been given. Go give the value that's inside of you to somebody else. Go share it and spread it and let God's glory come all on it and let the Holy Spirit work through it. Repeat it after me. Say, I'm gonna fight. I'm going to win. Close your eyes for a minute. Now say that to whatever is plaguing you today. Say, I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. You've already won through the power of Jesus Christ living inside of you. Stand your feet with me today. Come on, church. Let's Let's give God a hand today. His word is good. His word is good. Have you raised your hand during communion? Prayer. We're my prayer people. Party people, prayer people. They're the same thing. Don't leave without allowing God. You raise your hand, you said, I need healing in my body. I need health in my marriage. I need faith for my finances. You do not leave this place till you have somebody fighting with you. The thing I love about God is he didn't just call you to fight alone. He called you to fight with a bunch of people in his house called the church, and they're up here to just pray with you, to get through, to punch through, to knock through whatever stronghold or wall you're facing. So you make sure that you get what you need before you leave here, and don't just walk out of here because you only got a taste. But the hydrant's up here. You can be refreshed. Bow your heads with me today. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, would know how high, how deep, and how wide his love is, how vast and immeasurable it is, and that you would know that love and that it would enable you to fight to win. Fight the good fight, church. Fight the good fight. If you are here today and you have never said yes to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus died on a cross for your sin and for mine. He rose again on the third day because he's God. And God loves you so much, he wants a relationship with you. And our sin is the only thing keeping us from him. And today, there's a remedy for that. His name is Jesus. And you can have an abundant life, and you can have an eternal life. You can know where you're going when you leave this planet today. Start a relationship with your Creator. If you're here today and you just say, hey, you know what? I said that prayer a long time ago, but I just really haven't lived it, or I've never said that prayer. I just want you to do me the favor. I'm not going to call you up, but I just want you to raise your hand and say, I want to say that prayer with you, Pastor. I just want to say that prayer. I want to know that I know that I know. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to know that he's my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Just say, hey, the Bible says if you acknowledge him before men, he'll acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. Just raise your hand today. We have people come to Christ all the time. There's no better time than right now. Let's say that prayer today. Say, dear God, thank you for saving me. I give my life to you. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I make you the Lord and Savior of my life, Jesus. Come into my life. I start a relationship with you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You
said that. Today's message was preached from the pulpit of Hope Point Church, our central campus in Chesterfield County. Are you looking for a church home? We'd like to extend to you a cordial invitation to visit Hope Point Church soon. You'll find valuable information, service times, and the ministries of this church on this website. We hope you'll have a great week, and we hope to see you soon at Hope Point Church, where you find hope for your life. You're not alone.